All right, so we lit. We here. First podcast ever. Long overdue. A lot of people been telling us to get this on the road, and finally it is here, and finally we're doing it. So, let's get it. Just Cheese on a Podcast. When you think of ordering a pizza, typically what topping comes to mind? I'd say it's usually probably cheese pizza. When I think of cheese pizza, I think of original, plain, no added toppings, just the dough, tomato sauce, and cheese. Nothing more, nothing less, just cheese on it. This podcast will be just that, focusing on primarily on the fight game with occasional current event topics, all while keeping it 100% original, real, and straight to the point, no additives. That's the cheese on it way. Let's freaking go. What's good, Big Nick?
What's going on, Big Rod?
Good to be here. Yo, I'm so excited, man. We're finally doing this, man. Like, everyone's been telling us, yo, get this podcast on, man. Gotta, you know, do it already. So we're here, man. We're doing it. So, you know, I'm glad you're here with me on my first episode, my brother.
It's time to take off, man.
It's time to take over. Alright, so let's get into it, man. I want to talk about a lot of like what we did over the past weekend, or everything leading up to this. But it being the first episode of the podcast, you know, we're gonna go straight into these fights, man. Like, crazy amount of fights. What's the most recent one we just saw?
I think the most recent one was the Diaz-Masvidal.
Diaz-Masvidal was the most recent one. Man, what'd you think? What'd you think of that fight?
I thought Diaz gave a good fight. I think they stopped it a little too early. I think knowing how Diaz fights, knowing how he's easily cut, they should have kept it going. But Masvidal was killing him in the first three rounds. He was baptizing him, as they say.
That's true, man. I was looking at an interview of them like some time ago, and honestly, then when I saw the interview and I was leading up to the fight, I was thinking, man, like, the best way it could have ended was the way it did, because I really, like, when the fight was starting, like, you were here at the house, right? We were downstairs watching the fight with the boys, and then I was like, man, like, I was, like, so, like, anxious for the fight when it started. I was like, man, I don't want to see none of them get knocked out, you know? I was like, I want this to go, it's like a decision, like, and then someone win by, like a little bit, right? So when I saw it end that way, I was like, man, this is good, because then Nate was still talking crap at the interview, right? He was still saying, man, it was out to get me, whatever, man. Screw this, whatever. I'm still the baddest mofo, right? So, and then Masvidal won, and he's gonna go on to bigger and better things. But I feel like it landed, in, you know, how in a good way for them, but I guess for the fans, like, crap, man. Like, what about that third, and that, or that, yeah, fourth, like, and that fifth, right?
I feel like the fans were robbed of the fourth and fifth round.
Yeah.
But like, I agree. I felt like going in, no one was gonna get knocked out. Neither one of them. I felt like it was gonna go all five rounds if they would have let it, and someone would have won by decision.
Yeah, that's true.
When you put two dogs like that in an octagon,
that's true.
No one. I mean, they got the strongest chains in the UFC, I think.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's true. No one's gonna get knocked out. That's true. I guess it was more. I mean, you never know though. Like, one punch, man, and you know they're not getting, you know, any younger. You know, Nate Diaz can fight forever, so it's like
one
freak.
One punch can end the game.
One punch can end this. That was my worry, but. One of the interviews, going back to that interview that I saw with Nate Diaz, one of his eyes was already, like, puffed up on the right. And I was like, man, that looks weird. Like, his fight's in a week, and that thing was kind of, like, already, like, looking to,
yeah,
like...
They said the cut was deep. The cut was real deep.
And he said also that he had, like, he had an injury on his eye before the leading up to the fight. So I guess that's what I saw in the interview. I was like, yo, his eye was kind of puffed up. But, man, killer fight. Killer fight.
But I think... One of the fights that I was expecting a little more from was the co-main event.
What was that? Till and Gastelum, right?
I felt Till fought a very, very safe fight.
Man, he had to.
The safest fight.
He got freaking knocked by Masvidal and then freaking submitted by Woodley. He wasn't on his high horse no more, man. He knew, like, if I lose this fight, it's over. It's over to... Bare knuckle, BKFC. It's over to BKFC.
Did you get a shout out to Art on my Jason second fight?
Nah, he played it safe. He played it safe, and but it was. I mean, I don't know. It was a. I don't know, because Gastelum really didn't get a lot of damage on him. So it was, I don't know, it was weird. I feel
like it was a point-based fight.
You know, yeah, exactly.
It was like the Wonder Boy fights.
Exactly, point-based.
He played it very, very, very safe.
Exactly. So, you know, hats off to him. You know, he did what he had to do to, to, you know, to keep his contract in the UFC, you know, to keep getting his money. So, you know. But I liked afterwards in his interviews about how he was being real about, like, leading up to a fight, about being scared or anxious. He would say he was trying to find a way out. You can kind of relate to that. But then everybody was like, I saw, what's his name? Mike Perry. He was like saying that, what? Like, you crazy. Like we out here to get our money. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to get our money. Like, how? There's no getting scared. Like, this is our job. This is how we put food on our, you know, on the place for our families and that. So, and I get that, right? But
at the end of the day, you're a normal human being is going to be scared going into a fight.
Yeah, I mean.
There's rare people out there that are dogs, you know, like Mike. Like,
yeah.
Mike Perry, he's a good fighter, you know? He goes in and he's not scared because he probably...
Yeah. And you can get a little bit of both feelings, though, right? It's like, you know that's your job and you have to do it. But then you're both like, yo, I'm scared as heck for this fight. But doesn't matter that I'm scared. I'm still going to go out there and do what I got to do. So, not a lot of people say that. Like they're
in tilt. I feel like it's nervousness in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Once you walk out to that octagon,
oh, yeah.
You know you're very skilled and you know what you have to do.
Yeah, I believe it's not until, like, you throw the first blows that you're like, all right, like, nothing else matters. The crowd and nothing. Everything leading up, the walk into the octagon, the going in, was it Bruce Buffer yelling in your face, all that, you're like, you're shaking, like, crap, crap, crap. And then you go and you throw a first punch, then it's like, phew, like, you know it. Like, your adrenaline's in there.
There's rare people in the fight game that have that confidence. You know, there's rare people. There's not everyone is going to be a Khabib or a McGregor. You know, McGregor walks in the octagon and he's smooth.
Yeah, that's true.
He looked in, like, the fight with Aldo that he had. Way back when.
Yeah.
He walked, Aldo didn't even look at him in the face.
Yeah, he keeps his composure, man. It's insane to do that leading up to it. So I give him, you know, props to him for doing that, because that cannot be easy. But it's easy, I think, when a punch is thrown and you're in the fight. But everything leading up to that is like, crap, man. You know, anxiety.
Yeah, because you don't know.
You're shaky.
You don't know the outcome. You don't know if you're going to get knocked down in front of your family and the position you put your family in.
Okay, so I respect Till for saying that. Like I said, you know.
It's a dangerous sport.
Yeah, and it, you know, he was being real on that, and like I said, every fighter feels that, you know, and that's not saying that, nah, like, but that's a punk, you know, like, nah, everyone, no one's gonna admit that. At the end of the day, we still gotta fight, you know, if that's how you make a living, but you know, you are terrified out there to go out there, but you're still gonna do it, still gonna kill it, so.
Yeah, there's not one person that's not afraid.
Yeah.
Everybody who says that is just saying that to
talk. Yeah, so, but, you know, it is what it is. What was it for the co-main?
The Derrick Lewis fight. I think that was a couple fights in.
Derrick Lewis
and
it was a good card, right? It was an okay card. Derrick Lewis lost that one though, right? No, he won that one. He just didn't knock him out.
He didn't knock him out, but I feel like
he couldn't. Him. It was a Ivanov.
Yeah, Ivanov or.
Yeah, Ivanov.
Ivan something.
Blagonovich, something like that.
But I feel like
it's coming back to me now.
You saw a lot of growth in Derrick Lewis in, like, a ways. In all of his other fights, he would always gas out within, like, the third round.
Yeah.
And now he seemed like more. He wasn't just.
Damn, my man was hitting the treadmill. Yeah. My man was hitting the treadmill in those burpees.
He wasn't shooting for the sky.
Yeah, he was on it. He was. His card, his endurance was there for sure.
Yeah.
And it showed. And it showed. He just couldn't get that man even off out of there. That man got a grand chin.
And anyone else would fall victim to the Black Beast.
Yeah, for real. For real. What was before that fight? Forget now, man. It was so long ago. We were supposed to do this podcast some time ago, like, after the fight, but...
Yeah, no, after that one, I don't know what...
Recently, though, with the... after the Nate and Masvidal fight, there was interviews with Nick Diaz. Big bro's gonna come avenge little bro's loss, bro. That's what I heard. You heard that?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. He said he's gonna come out. He's gonna come out. He said, and you know, cause what did Nick Diaz say? He said Masvidal said something disrespectful about his little brother. He's like, that's my baby brother.
The whole Nick Diaz and why he was upset was more towards of how Jorge wanted to baptize everybody. He didn't. Nick Diaz didn't like the fact that he said, "Oh, I'm gonna baptize Nate Diaz." Mm. I feel like
Nick was like, you know, you're not going to baptize my little brother.
Right.
Like, I feel he felt a little bit offended by that. So that's why.
Oh, yes, right. That's right. Yeah. He was like, nah, man, at the end of the day, that's my baby brother. You know, you're not going to say that. Yeah, like he said, so I'm going to come out to you.
That's one thing that he felt offended by. But, I mean, at the end of the day, Nick Diaz, does he have that will to come back and fight? You know, it's been a long time.
It's been a long time, over 5 years. And honestly, though, I feel like money-wise, that is huge for, like, the UFC as a company to put up that fight. I mean, look, the story behind it.
And Nick Diaz.
You know, like, oh, coming to avenge his brother's death or his brother's defeat. Not only that, he hasn't fought in so long. He's going to come back. His last fight, I think, was a loss. But man, he was always...
Saint-Pierre?
Nah, he never ended up fighting him. But, man, he was such... Nick Diaz was such an exciting a fighter. So, to put... They're going to put, you know, put that story together. And then, man... So if Nate and Masvidal sold out MSG and did all that, imagine Nick and Masvidal. It's going to be crazy. Not that Nate, you know, is not that needle mover, right? Because
yeah.
No, he is. I mean, but, he like, is, the story now, it just leads up to, okay, now the brother's going to come in the mix.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
And that, I mean, like Nick Diaz said in his interview with my boy Ariel. He was just.
Ariel Helwani.
Yep.
That's my guy.
But what he was saying was kind of like, it's up to the UFC at the end of the day.
Right.
I mean, it's not on his hand. He looked like he said, like, he wanted to fight him. So, at the end of the day, it's up to President Dana to give him a call, set up a date.
And yeah, man. I hope they put that together, man. That'd be a dope fight, man.
Exciting fight. Now, that's a fight that I would think the same. No one was going to get knocked.
Man, they should do Nick Masvidal and then Nate Connor. And then stack up under that, man. That car is going to be freak,
that would
man.
That'd be a legit car. I mean, like I said, Conor McGregor is going to come back January 16th.
Yeah.
T-Mobile Arena.
Yeah.
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah.
Opponent yet to be announced.
Yeah, I don't know about that, man. I mean, fingers crossed that something comes out of that, but all these talks who knows?
There's rumors about Cerrone.
Then there's Gaethje.
I was thinking Gaethje-Conor. That's a good fight.
Gaethje-Conor is. McGregor beats Cerrone, no problems, in my opinion, man. He beats Cerrone, no problems. Yeah. Gaethje, I think, puts up a little more of a fight just because he's very chinny. He is, but he's also the younger fighter. He's also the more, you know, he's hungry. He's going to go in there, guns blazing. I feel like
McGregor's at his best when someone goes. Well, McGregor's not afraid of anybody. He's going to walk anybody down no matter how much the power.
Yeah, but I feel like Cerrone's a slow starter now with his age. I feel like he's a slow starter, and that's going to give McGregor the opportunity to land those straight and then knock him right out. You know, with Gaethje, he's going to be the aggressor, and McGregor's going to have to be more on his feet, be more, you know, calculated. So
I think McGregor's also a little more upset at the fact that Dana doesn't want to put him against Masvidal. Masvidal was saying that he's too man enough for McGregor. I feel like that's a fight that would be good. McGregor fights.
They both got hands. Oh, yeah, that'd be a good fight on top. For sure, it'll be a good fight.
Like I said, I mean, Jorge Masvidal, man, from where he came to, like, this, like, 3-4-5 win streak.
Yeah.
And it all started because of what he said. He went into that game show that they play on Telemundo.
Yeah.
That game show that he put himself in an area where there's no cell phones, no technology.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was really what was best for him.
He came back hungry.
And now he's... Damn it, he has the BMF title, and he could go for the welterweight title as well, too. So
yeah, no, he's doing big things, man. He's doing big things. You know, hard work pays off, man. That's Miami, 16-plus years.
Miami's own. Shout out to Miami.
Yeah, 16-plus years of him, man, doing that. So, you know, he deserves everything that, you know, he's getting.
Everything is coming towards him he deserves. He's come up. He's been in the game for a long time, man.
I mean, I wouldn't be mad at that Masvidal Connor. I don't see that happening, man. I don't see that happening.
I mean, I hear again, they're thinking of doing Habib Ferguson for like a fourth time, I think. If I was Dana, I'd be scared for that fight because at the end of the day, three times it fell through because of injuries. And it's like, you try it a fourth time and...
But everyone wants to see that fight, man. Everyone wants to see it. El Cucuy? Freak, man. I think he has what it takes to beat him, man.
He's
crafty as heck. I just don't see Khabib holding him down and him just getting like, crap, I can't get up.
He gets hit, though. He's like, in the Anthony Pettis fight, he got rocked.
He does, but Khabib doesn't punch like that.
Yeah, no, but he's not a boxer.
So, as I'm saying, if he takes him down, I don't see Ferguson like what he did Barboza, man. He was there. He was like, he couldn't get up. I don't see Ferguson doing that. I see him getting out, trying to get a lock in of some way. That's a fight, man.
That fight would be really good. And it's just the fact that they're just both so injury prone, and anything can happen. And
yeah,
that fight falls through, Dana for sure is gonna have a guy that's gonna be training on the side.
Backup. I forgot who they said there was a backup. Maybe Leon Edwards. I don't know, for some fight.
Leon's a welterweight. It could be Raging Al was a.
Nah, I don't want to see that. I don't know. Who knows with that fight? But you know, a lot of things to hope for. You know, as far as all these fights,
the UFC. I mean, one of the biggest fights coming up, Kobe Chaos Covington against my boy Kamaru Usman.
Kamaru, fake newsman.
Fake newsman, yeah.
American great again. Covington.
Already fake newsman and American great again, Covington.
Yeah, man. Honestly, that fight's gonna be good. I don't know who I got in that fight, man. They're both gonna shoot for the legs and lay on you the whole time, man. I hate the way they fight, man. Well,
I think I think that's more Usman. I've only seen a couple of Kobe's fights. And Kobe.
That's Kobe in the Lawler fight. It was aggressive, but he was like jab, 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 push him against the fence, jab, jab, put him down, jab, jab. Like, nah, he wasn't there the whole time, with his hands up. So that fight's gonna be very boring, man. Or unless they both like hear it and it's like, yo, I gotta show these people something else, because. Yeah. You know, I'm not getting no fights. No, I'm boring as heck. They made a BMF title, because no one cares about the titles we have. So it's like, they got to think those stuff.
I feel like with Usman, when I first saw him fight, it was kind of like his post-interview was the one thing that made me kind of like not like him.
Who's Usman?
Mad. Yeah, it made me mad because Usman was like, I'm only at 60%. Wait till I'm at 100%.
Oh, yeah. That was some time ago.
At 60%, he was still grappling and doing nothing. At 100%, doing the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, that Woodley fight, man, he laid on him the whole fight, man. Yeah, you shouldn't win a belt if you win like that. Like, come on, man. Like, that's how Cejudo beat Mighty Mouse. He laid on him to win.
Come on, man. Now Mighty Mouse is saying he's the greatest. He wants to fight McGregor.
That's going to be boring as heck if they do that. You know, if they don't do that, though, I mean, there's potential, but I just don't see it.
The entire card for that one, I mean, I think the Max Holloway and Volkanovski.
That's going to be a good fight. Man, freaking Holloway is like a huge compared to Volkanovski. That's going to be an easy fight. He's going to keep him at bay, at long arms, at length reach, and then just pick him off, just little jabs. Volkanovski's gonna come in, jump up with a knee, end that fool.
You can never underestimate a little man. Once that one punch hits.
Yeah, that's true, but it's harder, man. It's harder for the shorter guy. It's so much harder. The first thing you think of is
watching his fights. He looks like he knows what he's doing.
His last fights, he's very aggressive. He's very precise. He comes to get it, but I can never bet against somebody. You know. The height, man. And Holloway has the height.
And Holloway's been through hell and back, too. Hell and back to get to the, like, so many opponents he went through. And, well, like he says it best, it's the blessed era. It's the blessed era in the featherweight division. It's the
blessed era, man.
He knocks off Volkanovski. There's no one in the featherweight division anymore.
That's true.
After that, 155 is his best bet. 155.
For Volkanovski?
No, for Holloway.
Nah, man, he already went up to 155.
Well, I feel like once he clears the featherweight division, give 155 another try.
He couldn't be freaking Poirier, man. Poirier did get better with his hands, but...
He did get better with his hands.
Man, that's sad. I wish he would have won that and become double champ, but it looks like he's going to be sticking in featherweight, just dominate featherweight to the end of his career, man. Unless he bulks up, takes a good time to bulk up and get back up to lightweight, because he was so small. Yeah. He's just really tall and skinny is his problem.
Yeah.
You know, but then again, if he bulks up... It could sacrifice his cardio, right? His endurance, which is why he wins fights. Comes down to fifth round like if it was the first, and everybody's gassed out by then.
Yeah, his stamina is on another level.
So, I mean, we'll see. That's an exciting fight. I want to see that fight as well.
Even the third fight on that card, Amanda Nunes and...
Durandamy. Yeah.
I mean, we're looking at Amanda Nunes, possibly the greatest of all time.
Yeah, man. Knocking out Chris Cyborg. She's knocking out everybody.
She's becoming the Dawn of the game.
Yeah, she really is, man. She really is the greatest female fighter to ever live, man.
Ronda Rousey, Holly Holm. And now,
yeah, man.
Cyborg, everybody.
Amanda Nunes is it, man. No one's that's who's gonna talk about. That's who everyone's gonna talk about for the females in the UFC. I don't think there's anyone else, man. What's another one?
The UFC has a lot of great fights coming up. A lot of good fights.
Yeah, no.
If you're looking at the boxing side.
Yeah. Straying from UFC, we gotta talk about that Canelo Sergey.
Yeah, that Canelo Sergey fight was something.
Freak, bro.
Sergey looked so skinnier from where he was.
And I feel like he was always that size, man. It's just that his height, you know, he made him a little heavier. But I never saw him like really like, you know, swole or bulked up. I think it was his height and, you know.
But watching the highlights for that fight, I felt like Sergey gave it to Canelo. Tried to give it to Canelo, but
I didn't see the full fight. I saw highlights. It happened in the 11th round that he got KO'd, right?
Yeah, they stopped. Yep. I mean, yeah. No, Sergey dang near fell out the ring.
How good is Canelo, huh?
Canelo's really good. And I think it's just his counterpunches, man. He's so smart, man.
He got better. After he looked, he looked at those videos with Mayweather loss. He studied that joint. Changed his game, man. Because if you look at that fight with Mayweather, man, he just didn't know what he was doing. He didn't have that. Ever since then, man, he was just swift with it. The way he just moved around the ring, he was just.
I think he needed that Mayweather fight.
That taught him something.
He studied it, and now he's at the top. He's down in the boxing game now.
Man, he's a bull, man. To go up into, what was it, 174?
Yeah, I think Daniel was a lot.
He probably walks around at 180, 190, man. That guy's meaty as heck, man. And the fact that he doesn't sacrifice his cardio, he's gonna be dominating the boxing for a minute.
Not middleweight.
It was 174. I know that.
Light heavyweight, but I don't think it was that.
No, it wasn't light heavyweight, but I know 174 was a weight limit.
I mean, look, now he knocked out Sergey. People are talking Gennady, Triple G, another.
Yeah, I saw a post of a whole bunch of fighters, potential fighters for him. Gennady was there, and there was a whole bunch. Billy Joe Saunders, I think it is, or Ben Saunders, what is it? No, Billy Joe Saunders, Billy I think Joe his name. Yeah, he was on that picture. So there's a few fighters, potential fighters for him.
There was a few,
and they're all exciting fights
on the card beforehand, like the Holyfield fight, Holyfield Jr.
Oh, his son, right? He won, right?
Yeah, he won.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Pops right next to him, you know, he made his pops
proud. What weight was that? What weight class?
It's pretty scrawny. I don't know what.
Small. Okay.
It's probably.
Nah, I didn't look at that one. I gotta look at that one.
Coming up right now for the big boxing fans, you know, Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, February 2020.
Freak.
I think Tyson Fury's at the top of his game, to be honest with you.
What, Tyson and Wilder? Hold on, Wilder has to get past
Freaking Ortiz, yeah.
Yeah, heck, Ortiz. Bro, that's no easy matchup. We can't even go look past that and think Fury and Wilder, heck.
Definitely not looking past Ortiz. Like you said, you showed me Ortiz gave Wilder
a punch. Bro, yes, he did, man.
Rocked him and put him to sleep.
He had him. He was a couple punches away from ending that man's life right there. I mean, he hit him with some bombs, and then he was able to, you know, weather the storm, catch his breather on his corner, and he came back. And, you know, he got back into his game and he got Ortiz out. But the second fight, if Wilder doesn't come guns blazing and Ortiz hits him like that again, who's to say that he's going to weather it again, man? That was like one or two punches away from him being done.
You have to admit, Wilder taking this fight before a possible fight with Fury means very ballsy.
It's ballsy, but it's weird. Like, why would you do that? Everyone I'm hearing is saying, like, that doesn't make sense. Like, you're robbing the fans from a crazy good fight that they had the first time to do this. That if he loses, then... I mean, I'm sure they'll still make it, Fury and Wilder, because there has to be a two. But before that, they'll probably have to make Ortiz and Fury. And then who knows how that happens.
The heavyweight division's
on
fire.
It's going to get delayed.
You know, you got people like Andy Ruiz, fastest hands in the heavyweight division.
Man, don't sleep on my guy, man.
Andy Ruiz, you're knocking out Anthony. I mean, just look at the mismatch. Anthony Joshua is like
Ivan Drago. I love that. I love that, man.
Who freaking came out the cut. And
man, Joshua was looking at him like, man, this is a joke, man. Seriously, seriously.
You can never look an opponent.
I love that. Especially, and keep in mind, I was earlier, you know, the shorter fighter and the taller fighter, Ruiz is so much shorter. But, man, he made it happen, man. And Joshua wasn't taking it seriously, I don't think, man. And And that's what he gets, man. Like, how dare he? Yeah. Like,
you can't, like, if you come in cocky, you come in thinking you're going to win this fight easy.
Overlook a fighter like that.
The other guy is coming in with way more confidence.
Oh, like, yeah.
He's coming in nothing to lose.
Oh, yeah.
And everything to gain.
Exactly. So he got what he deserved, man. You're never supposed to overlook a fighter like that. You're supposed to fight. Like I said, that's the best fighter ever. And you're about to knock his head out. If you're second, you don't do that, you see what happens. So props out to Ruiz, I mean, man. First, was it Mexican heavyweight champion? Mexican heavyweight champion. Come on, man. Stand up, man.
Oscar De La Hoya was on too. I mean,
heck yeah, stand up. Well, Oscar was a heavyweight, heavyweight division. You know, never unheard of. But so,
man, what type of fight would that be with Andy Ruiz and Deontay Wilder? That would be one crazy fight.
Be good, right? That'd be good. I would want to see that. I mean, I just want to see Ruiz, just, you know, to support our Hispanics out there, man. I want to see him just knock out Joshua. Knock out Wilder.
He's gonna
fight Fury.
He's gonna fight Joshua again. The second fight, I think, is when is the second fight?
That's coming up soon. Yeah. That's coming up soon. Within a few weeks, I believe. Mm-hmm. That's coming up soon. Man, that was another fight I wanted to mention. I forget. Another fight.
I think those are mainly.
Those are the biggest fights, right?
Those are the biggest fights going on right now.
What's new with the NBA right now? What's good? You watching the games, man?
The NBA is hot right now, man.
I've been wanting to watch a lot of games, but
shout out to the Lakers fans. I'm a Lakers fan. We're killing it right now. Top of the West.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Son of a gun, huh? Night and day from last season, huh?
Night and day.
Freak.
People talking about the bench and everything, and look, man, they might not have a bench, but they have big three and centers. We're talking Howard, McGee, and Davis.
Mm.
I mean, we're mentioning Howard and McGee, like, their careers were up and down. McGee was a joke in the Shaq and a full king and everything.
Yeah, well, he was doing good in Golden State, and they saw that, right? Yeah. They saw that, like, oh, this guy has potential. He has potential to catch a couple balls up in the air and slam him in, you know? That's kind of what he's there for, defense. So.
And then Howard's rejuvenating his career now.
Really, man? Like, I feel like he's doing the same thing he's always been doing. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I mean, he's been hopping around from team to team, man. Yeah. Like, every year he's traded, but.
I don't see what he's doing better now than previously. I mean, well, maybe I'm not up on his stats, but.
He always had those reps of, from his previous team, that he was a bad locker room guy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, you look at his personality, how he is, and I just can't see how he's a bad locker room guy.
Yeah.
But now being around, you know, King James, Anthony Davis, Danny Green.
Yeah.
Rondo.
Yeah.
Jason Kidd. Like, veterans around, I feel like, you know, you can learn a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, and I haven't been up on his stats. Honestly, I haven't been up too much on the games, man. I mean, I watch the highlights every now and then.
I mean, Dwight
bringing James Harden and the Rockets, killing it like always.
James Harden right now, I can tell you some stats about James Harden. He's literally dang near averaging 40. I think he
dropped a 50-pointer recently.
Look, I'll tell you some stats on my boy Luka Doncic. He's had.
My boy Luka?
Luka has been on fire lately. Right now, I think going in, he's averaging about 28 points.
Freak.
11 assists and like 9 rebounds.
I heard what he's doing. I heard Giannis is still like already taking its top for MVP. I hear off the early.
Four from the three-point line a couple days ago.
Freak, man.
He's killing it.
Yeah, man, I got to start watching more of these games, man. Or less of highlights. I'm just sticking to the highlights, but...
Knowing how you're a Nets fan, the Nets aren't doing too shabby right now. Yeah, I mean,
man, my Nets, man, I told you my situation with them, man. They finally came you know, overcame a hurdle where like they were shying away from like, you know, picking up, you know, talent and going all. Not to say that, you know, there's no talent in Europe, but they were focusing too much on that. And since they made that change, is when you saw. Them really
they definitely,
unfold. So
their last one definitely picked up a lot of people from Europe. I mean, those people were talented shooters.
But shooters, none of yeah, for real. I'm not taking them from them, but you need more to that. And they, I don't know what.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense. The owner, I think, was.
I think now the
was
owner
was from Europe, but that's different.
The owner previously was from Russia, and I think the owner now is from China. I believe that bought the team.
Yeah, so he came with a little different flavor, and it's paying off, man.
But also the general manager. I mean, you got to give props to the general manager with the Nets organization.
Yeah,
it's kind of like they're from the Popovich tree, as they say. You know,
yeah. And so.
Anyone who worked with Popovich or worked in the sports organization,
goats.
It's just
man.
And you're learning from one of the
one of the greats, you know.
Exactly. They needed that. It wasn't working before, and I was a sad Nets fan, and then when they made that change, you know, kind of, you know, reeled me back in. But
you could say some of the two of the top 10. I mean, Kyrie, I don't know, maybe not. Maybe I would say top 10. I would give Kyrie the nod.
For sure, man. Best point guard in the league. I don't know who else is going to take that from him.
Handles everything.
Best point guard in the league. I mean, at one point I couldn't say that, but now I'm thinking, since we have a couple of injuries, Stephen Curry's out, you know, Chris Paul's an age, Russell Westbrook could put up there, but, man, overall, Kyrie's best point guard in the league. Yeah. You know, my boy John Wall, you know, is not playing right now, so.
I mean, you could say the same for Kemba. Kemba Walker has been he's a hot start. The Celtics are 8-1 right now.
I want to put him best point guard in the league, Kyrie, hands down. And once Kevin Durant gets back, the Nets.
The Nets really stole the summer, I'll be honest with you. I feel like, and they didn't have to have a pitch meeting with Kyrie or KD or DeAndre Jordan. It was kind of a thing where the league was even saying that they all just picked the Nets. Like, the Nets were even surprised they picked
it's them. Happened, right? New York City, man.
Yeah.
New York City.
And you would think the Garden, you know, everyone would paint the Garden, but, man, the Barclays Center ain't too shabby, right?
Nah, it isn't, man. I think it's sad how the way, you know, the Knicks and their reputation, no one wants to go play for them now, but this New York, you think, crap, man, everyone wants to play in New York.
Everyone wants to play in the Mecca.
The next closest thing is Barclays, you know what I'm saying, Brooklyn Nets, so I think that's how came together.
I know KD's going to sit out the rest of the year. I mean, I'd be surprised if he comes back even for the playoffs, but... As of right now, I mean, I'm saying it right now on this podcast. Lakers, Clippers will be the Western Conference Finals.
Whoa!
And then in the Eastern Conference Finals, I gotta go with Philly and Milwaukee. You know?
That's bold, man. That's bold. I think it's too early for me to tell. I gotta do some more. I gotta analyze the games a little more.
And the finals, I wouldn't be surprised if it's LA, Philly.
Woo! Nah, I can't go as far and say that, but I will make my prediction within the next few episodes. I'm gonna do a little more analyzing of these games and these stats.
I'll give you this: the Nets next season with Kevin Durant, a healthy KD, and a Kyrie, they will definitely be in the conversation for a championship next season.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I don't want to make my prediction just yet. That's a bold prediction you just made there, man. I mean,
that's a bold prediction, man. But when you look at the outlook, I mean, right now the Lakers and Clippers have the best duos in the league currently, I believe.
We'll see. I mean, I can't really.
But then again, it's the NBA. You never know what can happen.
You got
those Kawhi Leonard type shots that are rattling around the rim that could end a series. So
yeah, yeah.
The end of the day is where it's up in the air. Hands, man.
It's up in the air for me right now. But you know, I can't deny your prediction either, because you know anything happens early on. But yeah, man, I think this with all that, this may come to a wrap on our first episode of our podcast, man. We appreciate in advance everyone tuning in. We're gonna go ahead and try to make and put an episode out once a week, again with different topics. We're gonna have special guests on the podcast as well.
Coming soon.
And you know, it being the Just Cheese on a podcast, who knows? We may have a box of pizza alongside, you know, on our episodes. You know that you know, only time will tell for that. But you know, first one is in the books. You know, we hope you guys, you know, enjoyed it, and you know, we hope you guys.
It's only up from here.
Yes, sir. My brother Nick on the ship with me. You know, appreciate you being out here, Nick. You know, I got my brother Young Fetty in the background. You know, we out here. You know, as Nick Diaz says, is, you know, the Rodrigo Laura Army. You know what I mean? Yes, we out here. So you know, we appreciate you guys, and you know, we'll catch you guys on the next one. You know, Just Cheese on a Podcast. We out.